Blog Talk Radio.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are pleased to select
Marc-Andre Fleury,
Evgeny Malkin,
Sidney Crosby,
Jordan Staal,
Simone Dupre,
Bo Bennett, Joe Morrow.
You're following the road to the 2012 NHL Draft right here on the Pens Nation Radio Show with Nick Richter.
I do see the benefit of drafting the best available position or the best available player in the draft.
Andy Hughes.
He was on the first power play unit as well, and he has a good shot from the point. I like that. I like that a lot.
Ashley Langlois.
In terms of what he's going to actually bring to the team, I guess time will tell. So, you know, it's got the potential to pan out to be something really good.
Ken Will.
I think it's almost just as risky, if not more risky, to take a defenseman who needs to work on skating or anything like that. That's such a fine skill for the National Hockey League. That's the game breaker for whether or not you're an NHL player or whether you're in the NHL or anywhere else.
And Joe Depto.
This guy did a nice job in the postseason. It's a pretty high-pressure situation. I do think that is encouraging. The other thing that I think is very encouraging about this pick is that it kind of gives you a little bit more of options as time goes on down the line.
Yes, you can call into the hotline at 347-202-0344. Now, on to the show.
For years and months and weeks and days, we have heard all about Jordan Staal and how everyone is ready to trade him out of town for God knows what. Tomorrow might be the day that it finally happens. This is the Pens Nation Radio Show. I'm your host, Joe Dupto. As always, joined by my co-host and compatriots in crime, Nick Richter, Ashley Langlois, and Andy Hughes. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right. I hope they trade him to Carolina for Eric Staal. Just bust that cherry.
They wouldn't even have to switch the jerseys. Just keep the same jerseys in there, and the other guy can just switch numbers.
Richard Park would be mad if he takes the number 12. So,
well, he's a free agent. Who knows if Dick Park will be back?
Yeah, that's a big. Somehow I don't think that people are going to be wanting to talk about Richard Park on tonight's show, given what's going on. For those who are maybe a little behind in the times today, what Pittsburgh is completely blowing up about 5 hours ago, Bob McKenzie of TSN posted on Twitter breaking news. Hearing Jordan Staal turn down 10-year mega offer from Pittsburgh has indicated to Pittsburgh that he doesn't plan on signing an extension now. A few moments later on TSN, Darren Dreger confirmed that it was a 10-year deal worth $6 million per year. That was later confirmed by Josh Yoey, Dave Molinari, and so on and so forth. So at this point, the trade discussions are going to start. Carolina has already been linked to Ray Shiro and the Pittsburgh Penguins. What's your immediate take on this sort of thing? Is Staal gone? Are we all freaking out for nothing? What's up here?
I was just doing the polite thing and waiting to see if somebody else was going to say something.
That's what I was doing. Go for it, Ashley.
Yeah, go for it.
My immediate take on it, I think people are kind of freaking out for nothing at this point. Granted, yes, he's going to be a UFA July 1st, 2013. That's still a year. That's still a lot of time. And we don't know the specifics as to why he turned down that contract. Some people, you know, it's a long contract. It's good money. That being said, there's so many what-ifs still circulating just in regards to the NHL in total. You don't know about the CBA cap. We think it's going to go up. You're not really sure. And that being said, if he does decide to test the free market, I, for one, would not begrudge the kid. I mean, he's done great things for the team. He's done great things for the organization. That being said, you can't really give him a hard time if he maybe wants to step out of the shadow of Sidney Crosby, of Evgeny Malkin, where he has been living for the most part of his professional career, with the exception of the last year, really sort of stepping up and taking the lead when the team has needed him. But at this exact moment in time, I'm not panicking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting situation. Andy Strickland last night had kind of hinted at something. He said that Jordan Staal had let him know. There were really no specifics about it, not many people. And I'm not saying Andy Strickland isn't a good source, but some people were still a little skeptical. But you can never be skeptical when Bob McKenzie reports something, and he got the specifics, the 10-year deal. You know, it's really hard to take, because $60 million, 10-year offer from Ray Shiro, that says a lot to me. Even when he offers a 4-year deal to a player, that's saying something. And 10 years, $60 million, that would have been the largest contract he had ever given out. Obviously, I think Sidney Crosby will have that, even if Staal did sign that. But at the same time, you know, at the time being, that would have been the largest contract. And I think McKenzie had said that he loves it here. And I think it was you, Defto, earlier that said there wasn't a whole lot of love rejecting that kind of a deal. Now, I guess you could, maybe he doesn't want 10 years. Maybe he wants a little less than that, so he's not locked up too long at the same rate. Maybe he wants more money. But I don't know. I just think that's an offer that you may – I mean, what if he gets injured or something? He may never get that kind of offer again. So I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it. But, you know, it's hard to say what to do. Ray Shearer has definitely got a tough job here because, I mean, you got the draft tomorrow. It's in your hometown in Pittsburgh, and that shouldn't have anything to do with it. But I think you should – you got to at least listen to what happens, but you got to also talk to Staal a little bit more and see what he really wants. And if he wants to wait, I mean, waiting a year is a little risky. Cause like I said, he could get hurt. That could hurt his value. His value is pretty high right now. You could get a pretty good draft pick tomorrow. Maybe you get a player out of it. Who knows? But you definitely got to explore all options, including trading Jordan Staal, because you know, you cannot let him walk for nothing. And that would just be a huge mistake, and I don't think Ray Shearer would do that.
Well, it's surprising to me that they would offer a 10-year deal to a third-line center.
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much act, there has to be plans in the work at kind of what Defto is always saying, to move him over to left wing, put him on the top, one of the top two lines, and just, you know, just see how he works out there. I mean, he's going to be all right. But to offer 10 years for a guy that, if you think he's going to be a third-line center, to offer him 10 years at $6 million per, that's insane. I wouldn't blame Staal if he wants to step out of the shadows and try a new challenge. He's won a cup here. He's done everything he could do here. He's blossomed here as a player, and he's won, and he's kind of proven himself here. Maybe a new challenge has always kind of come up and kind of wants to see how he would prove himself. Maybe Duncan would like to go with him to Carolina. But I'm really not surprised that he would turn down the deal. It's kind of the first – it's kind of a formality at times, but to see one turn down for such big money, it kind of sends up a little bit of a red flag. But I wouldn't be surprised if he turned it down just for the fact that he's getting married tomorrow. He doesn't want to deal with all the stuff. He doesn't want to deal with the negotiations and back and forth. I mean, if you've ever been married, you know how much time goes into just planning that day. And so it's stressful. It's a lot of work, and I mean, it's worth it in the end, but it's just it's kind of the wrong time for the guy to be offered a contract, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, the length of the deal was the surprising thing for me. I really did not, you know, $6 million a cap hit annually. That's about in the ballpark of what I expected Ray Shearer to offer him. But a 10-year deal, you know, really when you look at the long-term thing of this, that could indicate that there's another player on the way out, whether that's Evgeny Malkin or Chris Letang or whatever. You know, that's a lot of money to be locked in for 10 years. I mean, you could conceivably be, if Sidney Crosby doesn't end up signing, you know, a decade-long contract, Jordan Staal could conceivably be the longest 10-year player of that kind of big, you know, core of players that the Pittsburgh Penguins has assembled over the last few years, you know, since they kind of develop their identity as the way they are. It just seems to me that if Jordan Staal wants to talk all this stuff, about how much he really loves Pittsburgh and he really wants to stay here and he really wants to be a part of this team long term. You don't turn down a 10-year deal worth that much. That's a borderline Ilya Kovalchuk cap hit per year. And this isn't like the NFL or you know, the MLB or whatever, where you know, the money isn't guaranteed. You're guaranteed to be locked into that contract. You're going to get that much money per year. And to me, I just call me naive, but I'm really not buying into the fact that Jordan Staal loves Pittsburgh and wants to be a part of this team long term. I think he wants to be his own guy. I think he wants to be on a different team. I think he wants to go his own way. And boy, $6 million a year, that's a lot to turn down for a guy that's never scored 30 goals in this league.
Well, Rob Rossi had a great quote from the breakup day on where he's kind of in there with the media, and he said, how do you keep three centers happy? Like, three star centers happy?
Yeah.
He's like, that's a great question. Wouldn't be surprised if he left. But the 10-year deal, first of all, that makes Staal a lifer, basically, as a Penguin. That's going to give him 17 years of tenure as a Penguin. That is only surpassed by one other guy in the entire organization.
Crazy.
So it speaks volumes of how much Shiro wants him to be locked up for life. You know, it speaks volumes about the kind of player that he is. And it kind of drives me nuts because a lot of players have often pined for either Staal to be traded or they complain about that draft and thought Jonathan Toews should have been taken over him. And now they're mad over the fact that he turned down a deal to stay with his team. It's like, I don't get it. You can't have that both ways. So,
yeah,
it's baffling right now. I wouldn't go as far as saying it's time to panic, but I do think there are just a few red flags that are being raised about it. Rejecting a deal like that is a little bit of one of those red flags.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the interesting things that I would kind of put out and ask you guys is that at this point, given the fact that Sidney Crosby has still not received his new deal, given the fact that Evgeny Malkin is coming up on a contract year soon, Chris Letang is coming up on a contract year soon, Marc-Andre Fleury will be in a contract the year that those two guys are up. You know, this heading into this, Jordan Staal, if he's not traded, you know, this offseason, receives basically, he's got all the leverage in the world of Erase Shiro and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Does this, you know, he's kind of handcuffed the team at this point, hasn't he? I mean, aren't they kind of in a situation to where, given the fact that they could also get Paul Martin's contract off the books and get a pretty nice return from this, you know, potential Carolina deal, isn't Ray Shiro kind of forced into a situation where he has to at least, you know, kind of look into shopping Jordan Staal around tomorrow?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, like you said, you named all those players, and yeah, Jordan Staal is important to this team too, and you know, Letang, Malkin, Crosby. It's a really tough situation for Shiro. He may just have to pick. I mean, this is a salary cap era, and all these guys are great players, and their salaries are just going to keep going up, and that's just the way the business works. It's a business, and these guys are going to want more money. You know, they're, I don't know. It's Jordan Staal. Yeah, like you said, Dubdo, I think you got to at least explore the options, like I was saying earlier. At least see what you can get, because this is just going to be really tough, and he is kind of handcuffing the team because, you know, Crosby's most likely going to sign that deal. But Staal was always the big question. The ball was in his court, and if he's not going to, you know, take less money, you know, you're going to have to, because you may have to deal him because you know, I think Crosby and Malkin both could have had more money in their last contract, but they chose to stick around to you know, play for championships every year. That's pretty important to them. But you know, Jordan Staal, you have to admit, Jordan Staal has been kind of playing in the shadow of those guys.
But does that ease up at all in Carolina playing under his
brother?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's a very similar situation with Eric. I know it's his brother, but you know, Crosby, Malkin, Staal, and then Carolina, you have Eric Staal, Jordan Staal, Jeff Skinner. I mean, he's probably not as good as those two, but he's certainly a good player. And I don't know how many championships he would win with Carolina, to be honest. And I'm not saying Carolina's a bad team. I mean, they got Cam Ward, Eric Staal, and Skinner. But there's doesn't seem to be as much depth as the Penguins have. You know, you have Neil Kunitz, all those guys. So I don't know. It's like I said, it's up to Jordan Stahl. Obviously, he didn't like that deal, but we'll have to wait and see what here. But you have to explore. You have to explore the options tomorrow. See what general managers offer you, what players they offer you, what picks they offer you. See what you can do. If the right deal comes along, you may have to pull the trigger because, you know, the Chris Letang, all those guys too, they're important as well. So it's going to be an interesting day, to say the least, tomorrow.
I think if the price gets too rich, that you have to. I mean,
yeah,
you got to see what you could get for this guy. But none of us know if it's even remotely in the ballpark right now. If he's just like, you know what, like, I'm just putting this on hold. I'm not ready to sign an extension yet because of I'm getting married, we're going on a honeymoon, like, I just don't have time right now, or I don't like the contract for the length of money or for the length of time, for the amount of money. Like, what is it? Like, there are so many variables in a way. The one guy that has the best feel and his thumb on the pulse of this is Ray Shiro. And so I would think that if he's sensing the fact that this is going to be a deal that's just going to be too rich for the Pens to be able to afford over time, that he's going to be forced to kind of look to see what he can get for the guy, at least that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the return could be pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the thing is with the annual cap, though, is they can't give him more than $6 million and still keep Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin. There's no way that's going to happen. Yeah,
no.
There's no way that's going to be able to happen.
Well, let me pose this question. Out of those three,
boy,
who are the
which,
two?
Malkin, Letang,
Stahl? Letang, and Stahl. Yeah.
Okay.
Out of those three, who are the two that you keep?
Malkin, Letang.
Malkin Letang. The thing about Stahl is, as much as, and people are going to hate me for saying this, and that's fine, realistically, he is disposable. And that sounds terrible, but at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to say he's the third wheel, but sometimes he is and sometimes he isn't. And he can be streaky, too. I mean, every hockey player can be streaky. But, I mean, there were times this season where it was like, are you kidding me right now? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to be doing that right now, and you know that you can't afford to be doing that right now. So why do you continue to do it?
What was he doing?
Not doing anything?
I think you meant turning it over and bad offensive zone decision making. That happened quite a bit this season.
Well, and like you and I had discussed, you know, for a big kid with the size and the power that he has, there were times where he just wasn't using it.
Right.
He just looked really slow, and maybe he was playing hurt. I'm not sure. I mean, I can't read his mind any more than you guys can. But that being said, if it comes down to those three, I think that Stahl is definitely your disposable one.
Yeah.
Has Stahl at least remotely came close to his potential here in Pittsburgh, or can he feel that potential somewhere else?
That's the crazy thing.
Can he be a franchise player? And if so, where is that?
Yeah.
The more we get the bigger role.
Right. I mean, it's the crazy thing about Jordan Stahl is, like, say he would hypothetically, you know, get traded to Carolina or whatever. If Jordan Stahl is a guy that for the rest of his career averaged 55 points, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But also, if he were to go to Carolina and score like 85, 90 points a year, I wouldn't be surprised by that either. Really, the only thing that would surprise me about Stahl is if he didn't have any kind of consistency whatsoever. He's just such a wild card. He's got so much innate talent, so much size, so much natural ability, but there's so many flaws in his game, and there's so much that he hasn't rounded out. He's still really young, but at the same time, I mean, you know, like you were saying, which of those two do you pick? Letang's a top five, top 10 defenseman. Evgeny Malkin's a future Hall of Famer. I mean, I just don't think – I think that there were a lot of delirious people that were trying to compare Stahl to Malkin earlier this year, and you just can't do that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I would definitely pick Malkin and Letang, and you know Sid's going to sign that deal. Franchise player. I'm looking at it like this. You know, if Sid goes down again, who do you want in there, Malkin or Stahl? Who do you want to lead the team? And obviously Malkin has done that before many times when Sid's been down. He's been able to lead the team to many wins like he did this past year. I'm not sure if Stahl would be able – he kind of was in that situation You see, when Sid went down with the concussion that year, he had a decent year, I guess, but, you know, not as good as Malkin, obviously. So I think if Sid was ever to come out again, because you know that there's a risk there with the injury, I would definitely have Malkin in there. And then, like you said, Joe, Letang's a top five, top 10 defenseman, a very, very exciting player, and you have to keep him because he's lethal on the power play, and which is, you know, that's a huge part of how the Penguins play. They need to score on that power play. And Jordan Staal hasn't gotten too many chances on that power play. So he would probably get some more power play time on another team. But, you know, when you got guys like Crosby, Malkin, Letang, it's hard to get power play time. So I would definitely take Malkin and Letang out of those three.
You know, one thing that I think, again, and not to keep harping on this quote because I know I sound like a broken record, but when Jordan Staal, you know, people keep bringing up the fact that he made that quote about how much he loves to stay in Pittsburgh and wants to do it. If you really love Pittsburgh, you'll lock up a deal quick the way Crosby's going to. Yep. That's just, to me, I just think that that's a total no-brainer. Like, given the fact that you're going to receive such a good contract, and they have to honor that contract. I mean, even if Staal comes out and he, you know, completely disintegrates into a guy like Scott Gomez did, where he was once a very, very solid player with a lot of promise and everything about his game just fell to the wayside, even if that happens, he still makes $6 million a year. I mean, to me, and the whole thing about, you know, does he stay in the shadows and any of that, it's apples and oranges. He becomes the borderline focal point of that team because Eric Staal has not been able to stay healthy consistently since they won the Stanley Cup. He could potentially be the top line center. I mean, he becomes the Evgeny Malkin of the Carolina Hurricanes. And Malkin, you know, you saw what he can do when he's on and he's putting up those streaks. He does not take a backseat to Sidney Crosby. That's just this one big myth about the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm-hmm. When Malkin's on, there's no one in Pittsburgh that's talking about anything but him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Malkin's one of those players that just, when he's on, you saw in that, speaking of Carolina, in that Carolina series in 2009, he took over that whole series. I mean, that was just all Geno. When he's on, he is on. And he's one of those rare players that can just kind of take over a game by himself. We don't see that too often, but we've seen Malkin do that many, many times in his career. He's an unbelievable player. And boy, hopefully everyone can from the NHL Awards can start pronouncing his name right.
Oh, my Lord.
I was making fun of them last night. Evergreen Malkin.
Evgeny.
Okay, this is a little bit of an aside from the Staal stuff. Was that the worst 2 hours of television you've ever watched?
It was pretty bad.
You know what? I missed it. I only caught the end. I caught Ray Liotta's joke that really seemed to tick a lot of people off, but I thought it was funny. I caught the last, 10 minutes, so I really couldn't tell you if it was good or bad.
You didn't miss much. That way.
It wasn't even remotely funny. I mean, Matt Perry came out, and he looked just awful. he looked like he'd just been on a 2-week bender in Vegas, which given his recent history, he might have been. And his jokes were just not even remotely funny. They did this Will Arnett thing with Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah.
And some people liked it. I didn't think it was even funny at all. You know, they had this one guy come out and he was pseudo complaining that he had to introduce a highlight clip. It was bad. That was awful. Andrews was really bad.
Yeah, he said he was going to present the Hart Trophy, and then, this guy comes out of nowhere and tells him that he wasn't. He was just presenting a highlight video, dumb.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I caught the last 5 minutes, and I caught Ray Liotta, and apparently this really ticked a lot of people off. When he went to present the Vezina, he said they had asked Tim Thomas to present with him, but they decided that they couldn't wait 12 months on him. And I laughed. I thought it was funny, but apparently it insulted a lot of people.
See, I don't mind that.
I don't think that's that bad, though.
And then Vince Vaughn massacred Gino's name.
Evgeny.
of Gani.
Yeah, some big-time hockey fan. He really is. The NHL is always pimping up like these celebrities as being big-time hockey fans, and none of them can pronounce the MVP's name right and the best one of the best players, if not the best player in the world's name right.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, how often? I mean, he has so much time to study that name. You know, he has all that. The whole show, basically, all he has to do is say that name, and he couldn't do it.
He's probably one of those Blackhawks fans that insists that it's Jonathan Toews and not Jonathan Toews. Like, I mean, but that being said, there are announcers, there are people who make their living saying those names and still refer to him as Evgeny Malkin.
Malkin.
It's brutal.
Malkin.
It's brutal. I mean,
Milton.
The same people that call Sidney Crosby Cindy. So.
That's such a bad joke. It really is. Like, that's the best you can come up with.
Man.
That was terrible, Nick.
No, I'm not talking about Nick. I'm talking about, like, the people that actually use that.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Use that.
No, I wasn't talking about what Nick said. I was talking about, you know, what he was referring to. The people that, like...
Cindy Crybaby? Yeah, that's
like,
original.
They actually use that. It's like... Come on, like, it's unbelievable. It's so stupid. It doesn't even make a little bit of sense.
It's like fun with 12-year-old fan bases.
Yeah. TK Soup Can. It's so stupid. You just call it soup. Like, how is that an insult? Like, you're not even, like, you soup, man, or, like, you're an awful player. So you're not even saying that. You're saying your name kind of sounds like a can of soup. So I'm going to use, you know.
Can of soup, man.
That's the best you can come up with. Like, I'm sorry. I'm good. That's you passed linguistics 101. Good for you.
Oh.
Well, call in at 347-202-0344 if you want to talk about anything about Stahl or how bad the NHL awards were. Be our guest.
No, definitely. You brought up a great point about Jordan Stahl, like, just a little bit ago, where you're talking about how he says he loves the city of Pittsburgh, and then he kind of says no to that contract. And it reminds me of about a year ago where Czechoslovakian said, I would do anything. I want to play for Mario Lemieux.
I'll play for the league minimum.
Play for league minimum. I'll eat a can of soup from P.K. Subban. And
nothing
funny. Sign that contract, and I'm there. And then, the money wasn't there. So,
where's my money?
It has the potential to be completely nasty, is what I'm saying here. And, I really hope not, though.
Some people are going to flip out that you just compared Yager to Jordan Stahl.
Oh,
it's already nasty, but...
Nick Richter, SMH.
You know... You know what situation it reminds me identically of is, almost to a T, is Ilya Kovalchuk's last year in Atlanta before he was traded to New Jersey. Other than the
same
fact that Atlanta wasn't a good
jersey. For Zach Parise. No.
Oh, no. Let's not open that can of worms.
Pipe dream, baby.
He's already going there.
The pipe dream.
People have been wanting him and Pittsburgh since I'm pretty sure the first day I got Twitter, people were talking about.
How good could Stahl be in New Jersey, though? A two-way forward with that kind of defensive prowess?
Yeah.
Be nasty.
I think Stahl would be good, I mean, in a lot of markets. I mean, I think he fits Carolina perfectly. That's the ironic thing about them and their new system with their new coaching staff and everything. He does fit it really well, and I think if he were playing – with his brother, if they were to move his brother to wing, or if you were playing with, like, Tuomas Ruutu or Jussi Jokinen or a player like that, I mean, I think he could do really, really well. But, yeah, I mean, in Jersey, it would be terrific, especially if they could bring back Parise somehow. But this is, you know, we're talking purely from a hypothetical standpoint. The only other, you know, situation, I mean, it's just really amazing to me that this draft, we're talking about Jordan Stahl potentially being traded, Rick Nash, Bobby Ryan potentially being traded, Derek Roy potentially being traded, the rights to Ryan Suter, the rights to Zach
Luongo.
Yeah, Roberto Luongo. I mean, you go down the list, I mean, there's so many potentially big names that could be moved this offseason. It's just such a, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. It's almost like a catastrophe of movement that we could potentially see. And then I just really hope this doesn't turn out to be like the trade deadline where nothing happens at all. Where Zach Cashin getting moved for Cody Hodgson is the biggest deal of the day.
We've done, like, me and Deft, I think, me and you have done, like, two trade deadline shows, and we've just been quiet on both of them. So rough.
Yeah, we've done it 2 years in a row, haven't we? At least in 2011,
yeah.
At least we had the Goligoski for James Neal Matiniskin deal
that
to talk
before,
about.
Yeah.
That was before the deadline.
Yeah, that's true, and so was Kovalev, actually. So,
yeah,
I guess on deadline day, I guess we really haven't.
I was going to say it was quiet.
Dominic Moore was the biggest name.
Baby. Oh, my Lord. Well, I hope it makes up for it this year. Out here in Columbus, you obviously know what people are talking about here. So the fact that I'm kind
of... The All-Star game.
No, they're talking about Mark Letestu's face-off ability. I'm training with Scott Harrington.
Just no respect, none. Sickening.
You know they're talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes. They don't even know they have a hockey team.
It's ridiculous.
Believe it or not, that's so true. Like I turned on the Fan today, the local radio sports station, and I'm like, because the guys that when they do actually talk hockey here, they do a really good job. So I'm like, okay, they're probably going to be talking about the draft or Rick Nash or something. I turn it on, they're talking about the New Orleans Saints bounty thing, and still going on, and whether or not any of these coaches will ever coach again. And it's like, I get it. Like nobody, you know, even in Pittsburgh, when the Pirates were at their absolute bottom, the Pittsburgh media would still at least throw them a bone on the daily in the summertime. You know, like at least, you know, that Jason Bay, at least he's hitting, you know, something like that. Jeez.
Jason Bay.
Man, there could be so many Stahl rumors.
I know.
Yeah. Stahl to Columbus for Rick Nash.
Stahl for Bobby Ryan.
Yeah, that was one I heard.
I would do that deal. That's Bobby Ryan's a hell of a player.
Cocaine's also a hell of a drug.
I love Charlie Murphy. I'm gonna have to go upside his head every now and then.
Charlie Murphy.
We're seriously going there. All right.
Yep. Need some clips from that now.
Yeah, we do.
I'm bleeding on my chest.
Yeah. Working on a great Photoshop for you, Depto, right now.
Oh, no.
It's actually not Evil Shiro.
Yeah, it's not, but there is a Shiro involved with it.
Man.
Oh, boy. Is it going to be Ray Shiro and Scott Alson fighting over me?
No.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
But if it was, you'd be naked in it.
Depto. Depto in demand.
Oh, God.
The Depto demand.
Depto.
Wow.
On demand.
Depto on demand or on demand?
Depto on demand.
I'm terrified.
If you want bad guitar licks, press star 37.
You just press star 38.
You get loudmouth hockey opinions that never end.
I don't want any opinions.
Opinions are for the weak. Speaking of opinions, where's Ken Will?
Yeah, he didn't, like, say anything. He didn't even respond. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm kind of worried.
Awesome Photoshop about to come up.
Oh, my God. it's amazing what 24 hours does.
I know. It is.
Yesterday, we're like, there's no way it's still getting traded. There's no way. And today, we're like, oh, God, please don't trade him.
Whatever you do. Don't do it. Anything.
Yeah. Way to make us look stupid, Jordan.
Yeah. T-shirt.
Get right out of town.
Blame Stahl.
Get him out of town.
Do you think when it comes to negotiating a new contract that he's using Stahl tactics?
Oh, I see what you did.
He's a honey.
I was expecting that to say anything and then use the cricket sound effect. That's what I was expecting.
Oh, man.
Wow. Stahl tactics.
Stahl tactics. That might never happen to that person.
No comment. What's happening, fellas?
That should be the name of the whole Stahl watch. That should be Stahl tactics.
Yeah, you know, she's my girl. She's my new girl.
You ever been to Cancun?
Thanks for 24 hours straight.
Oh, man.
Yep.
The show.
What happened to the show all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I blame Charlie Murphy. That's when it all started.
I'm blaming everything on Jordan Stahl.
I was going to say, mental breakdowns worldwide because
yeah.
Jordan Stahl. Really? Is that so?
Baxter say?
I have many leather-bound books. My apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Rich mahogany.
And I'm going to trade Jordan Stahl to Edmonton.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. As long as we get something.
Send him to Winnipeg. Send him to Winnipeg.
What would you want from Winnipeg, Evander Kane?
Yeah, I don't know what I would want there.
And what else?
Yeah,
I don't know about you guys, but Rich Beverly doesn't exactly.
Rich Beverly.
He's with Boston.
So he doesn't do it for you?
No. He did. Well, he didn't when he was with Atlanta anyway.
Definitely not Pavlik, because the Penguins kill him every time. Not that I would want him ever in any way, but.
Yeah, he almost died in the middle of a game anyhow.
It's true. Funny because it's true.
Yeah, there's not much on Winnipeg I would want.
Jim Slater.
Especially Yuri Slager.
Big Buff. I wouldn't even want him.
No.
Big Buff. He comes with 6 months worth of Slim Fast, maybe.
Sponsors McDonald's.
Oh.
Oh, wait. What happened to Shiro?
That's what we're going to be saying tomorrow.
Yeah.
When
he's walking around. What happened to Shiro? I don't see him on the draft floor anymore.
We just see him on that telephone.
Oh, yeah. When he's on that phone, oh, man.
He's just trying to one-up Philadelphia and the Mike Richards, Jeff Carter trade last year. Oh, we're going to trade Jordan Stahl.
He's going to get free. No, I'm not even going to go there. I was going to say he's going to get Scuderi back. He's going to make a giant trade with L.A.
I'm waiting for, like, Jordan Stahl to have this press conference tomorrow, and he'll be like, I'm accepting the deal.
Yep.
Guys, it was before my wedding, and I did a bunch of bath salts.
It's going to be his vows tomorrow.
Yeah.
I promise to sign that contract as soon as I get back to Pittsburgh. I promise to love you and cherish you always.
Well, it's not until July 1st, but...
His wife's going to be, you turned down $60 million guaranteed dollars.
How dare you.
You know what? He could probably make an extra 15 to 20 on that deal if he hits the open market. That's the scary thing about that. Getting him locked up now is, like, crucially important if you want to get him at a discount.
Gives him a few months to get his prenup done.
You never know.
Oh, man.
No, actually, you always know.
You're a terrible person.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
when you're a hockey player, you always know.
That was signed months ago. What are you talking about?
Sigh. Speaking of Sigh, Sigh was really, he was excited for tonight. He kept tweeting, man. Hopefully he's listening.
Oh, my God.
What?
Nick, this is amazing.
Oh, wait. Is this Photoshop's online? Let's see this.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Like, seriously, like, that might be.
Whoa, that looks. The right side of that, like, the background almost looks like one of my old skulls a little bit.
That's really good. Oh,
you know what? It probably is because I think that movie was filmed in Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
That's not my. It kind of looks like it, but that's not it.
I'll have to look up where Dirty Work was found.
Yeah.
That's great. I have a feeling that may be on the PensNation.com at some point.
No,
Dirty Work, the official movie of the Pittsburgh Penguins, was filmed on location in Toronto, Canada.
I was going to say Canada.
That doesn't surprise me, yeah.
Hey, that's my Canadian jersey.
I'll never forget.
Hey, where are my shirts?
My shirt.
Keep it.
The banner.
I was thinking of somebody else.
Some other guy that's not you.
Let's say you owe Jordan Stahl $60,000, and he breaks one of your arms because he couldn't pay him. What do you do?
Well, no.
You sell him a fully adjustable automatic bed. That's what you do.
We're in the middle of trading Jordan Stahl. What the hell's wrong with you? You play a hardball. All right. $5.7
million. Remember the last year free agency when Nick, when you made that banner with Crosby and Jágr? He had like Crosby had like the gun or whatever.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, tomorrow we're tailgating
yes.
for the NHL draft.
Come on at.
Starting at noon and that.
Yeah.
Noon. Wow.
Starting early.
We seriously are starting early. 6 hours of head start.
6 hours of on
the Oh, God.
We're going to be those guys on the floor just completely belligerent, asking the stupidest questions.
When they trade Jordan Stahl, you're going to be like Will Ferrell. Anchorman. Lady in the Red Hat, yeah.
The Batman punted Shiro off the bridge.
They traded Jordan.
Gryffindor.
Shiro's going to be like, Carolina, assemble.
Slytherin.
I want Suter, Skinner, Stahl. Anyone with their last name S. I want them all.
Sarovi.
Rick Sash.
Rick Sash. Bob Saget.
Oh, God. Dennis Seidemann.
Bobby Stion. Wow. That's crazy.
I did not expect some of these names to be dropped tonight.
That'd be one hell of a wedding gift. Oh, and by the way, we just sent you to here.
Yeah,
sorry.
You get back from your honeymoon, you come back to your apartment, and there's a note on your door. All your stuff has been moved.
Message.
Just gonna say
contact Ben Lovejoy to find out where.
Wilkes-Barre.
Wheeling.
No.
Put Dan Grady in to send him to Wheeling before the season starts.
Oh my God.
Jordan Stahl is a TJ Sports Garden drinking all day at a depression. Well, I think we're coming to the end of the live show here. Anybody, any final thoughts before we officially shut Thursday down and get over to draft day, which starts in a little over an hour?
Stall tactics. And now, a Deptodong identification right here on the Pens Nation Radio Network.
Hi, this is Doc Emrick. Tell your mom hi.
Does that mean it's confirmed?
I don't know.
Better run.
It's from me to Doc Emrick.
for that one.
Well, 10 seconds left. Ooh.
Thank you to everyone for listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show. I'm Joe Depto for Nick Richter, Ashley Langlois, and Andy Hughes. We will see you tomorrow night. Happy draft day, everybody.
You're the best, man. I did it.
That was perfect timing.